Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I did tell Ashley that I was sorry that I didn't consider the fact that it was Mother's Day this morning when she was assigned the children's sermon. And she said, well, I appreciate that. You know, you can just do it. And I said, oh, no. I didn't like, that was an empty sort of gesture. I didn't really want to do anything about that. But, you know, I am sorry. Well, this morning we got to listen in on a conversation between Jesus and his father. Like a little kid hiding out on the stairway, listening to her parents talking about their hopes and their dreams and their love for her, we get to eavesdrop on these two as Jesus prays for our protection in this world, for our unity in this world, for our sanctification in the truth. Now, again, this is a prayer. Okay, this is a prayer. It is addressed to God from the lips of Christ himself. It is not addressed to the church. It's not addressed to bishops. It's not addressed to pastors. It's not addressed to you or to me or anything or anyone else. It's addressed to God. This is from Christ's lips to his Father's ears. And because of this, it is not something for us to try to bring about. It's not for us to try to bring about the things named in this prayer, but instead to sit back, to hear this, to eavesdrop on it, and to take joy and receive the things that are named in this prayer from the hand of our Father. Now, unfortunately, the church has often taken Jesus' words here as a prescription that we somehow need to fill. And that has led to some serious controversies over the centuries. Especially Jesus' prayer for unity. Unity is a very, very tricky thing. It's a difficult thing to accomplish, and when we do accomplish it, it usually doesn't look very good. Because all of us being together on a thing most often means that we voted, right? And if we voted, then someone has won and someone has lost. And while the winners celebrate their victory, the losers, if they're good sports and if they can stomach it, go along with the program that the winners have chosen. And if they can't, then they leave and you end up with less unity than you started with before you voted. Right? But we have something like a manufactured unity that we have tried to create. Because, of course, Jesus says, it's my prayer that they would be one, and so we try to make that happen. So I can remember, for instance, when my friends and I were in a band when we were 7 years old, we had a band. We couldn't, you know, like play instruments or sing on key or do anything together. We actually had a really hard time creating any kind of unity of music, but that didn't stop us from having a band. And so we had a band, and we decided we needed to choose some songs. So we had a playlist of songs that we were going to do. And we had some original compositions, which you can imagine were very creative and very poetic and well written. And then we also had some songs that we had chosen that we knew from the radio. But one of my friends kept on getting outvoted. He wanted this song and the rest of us didn't want to sing this song. And every time he'd present a song, we'd all say, no, we don't want to sing that song. And so eventually he left the band. And then we said, okay, well, we'll do one of those songs. And he came back in. And then he presented another song and we said, no, we don't want to do that. So he left again. And it was one of those, I mean, we actually were getting the rock band thing down pretty much to a T. I mean, with all the drama and one guy always leaving and coming back. I mean, we had everything except for the LSD. I mean, we were doing great. but we had a really hard time creating anything like unity. And the unity that we tried to create was created by vote, which always excluded. A more serious example from within the church is when, back in the early part of the 20th century, 1917, the Norwegian Lutherans, the two of the major groups of Norwegian Lutherans in America, merged into one church body. And so you had the old state church Norwegian Lutherans, and you had the Haugian Lutherans, who were the Pietistic Lutherans. And at the convention where this merger was announced and made official, the State Church Norwegians came up there in their cassocks and surplices and, very, very formal and liturgical looking, right? In all the garb that you expect pastors to wear. And the Haugians came out in their frock coats, right? Well, they announced, during the announcement of this merger, they talked about how we're so grateful for the traditions that have come into this new church that we're forming, and everyone's origins are going to be respected, and we want to respect the traditions of both groups, and both will be represented. But before the ink was even dry on that agreement, the old Haugian pietists were told in no uncertain terms that they would be vesting in cassock and surplice, that they would be using the liturgy of the Norwegian Lutheran Church, that they would be doing things a certain way. They'd go along with the program. And so before too long, all of the old vestiges of the Haugian tradition were gone. At least they were gone from the higher offices of the church. And it was made very, very clear that anyone who wanted to rise to high positions within the church would go along with the program or they would be excluded. Well, when you try to create unity, what we end up with more often than not is simple uniformity. Right? Everyone's got to go along with this program or else. The unity we create always makes winners and losers. It pushes down dissent in the name of that unity. And so we end up with this uniformity in which we try to enforce on everyone the same way of thinking, the same way of doing things. But this is not the kind of unity that we get in Christ Jesus, which is why it's so important we remember that this is a prayer and not a prescription. Right? We do not make the unity, create the unity that Jesus Christ is praying about here, but we receive it as a gift because it's way better than the stuff that we can make. Unity in him is not uniformity. Unity in him is not a dissolving of differences in order that we all get with the program. Unity in him is not school uniforms, okay? That's not what it looks like. After all, Jesus Christ, in his goodness, has created us all very, very different. You know, we were born in different places. We were born looking differently. We were born thinking differently. We were born with all kinds of complexity, endlessly diverse. I mean, human beings are endlessly diverse and interesting, and you wouldn't want to wipe that out. It would be very boring. And Christ Jesus is not here to wipe that out. He is not here to level us all off and make us the same. Because our unity in Christ is not found in all of us looking a certain way. Our unity in Christ is found in the reality that no matter what else might divide us, right? No matter what else might keep us apart in this old and broken world, that he has chosen you and he has chosen me for himself. So whether we are male or female or black or white, whether we're normal or weird, whether we're smart as a whip or dumb as a post, I mean, no matter what, whether you watch CNN or Fox News, Jesus Christ doesn't care, right? Because your unity in him is found in him and not in these things. Not in the stuff that we can agree on. Not in the stuff that we can force our neighbors into saying or doing. Not in our ability to, well, if I can just block all the right people on Facebook, then I'll only see the things that I want to see, and then I'll have unity in my Facebook page. This is not what unity in Christ Jesus looks like. Our unity is not found in what we are. It is not found in what we are or in what we can produce. It is found in the fact that we all belong to the same Lord. In him we are one. This is a gift, dear friends in Christ. And so receive it with joy and with gladness, knowing that you never could have produced it. but in him it is yours. And I'd ask the people of God to please say amen to that.
Amen.
We'll continue with the singing of our hymn of the day. The hymn of the day is number 789 in your red hymnal. 789, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Would you please stand if you're able as we sing the hymn?